Kia ora, tēnā koutou, nō mai, haere mai. Hello everyone, welcome to the Walk in the Shadowlands podcast. Join me as we take a walk into the realms of the unexplained, of the paranormal, of things that go bump in the night and haunt your dreams.
Your hosts,
I'm Marianne. Thanks so much for joining me today, tonight, whatever time it is, wherever you live in this beautiful world of ours. Sit back and relax. Let me be your guide as we walk into the Shadowlands together and see what awaits us there. Hello everyone, welcome. If you're a first time listener, a special welcome to you. We're glad to have you with us all. In this episode, we're re-exploring a subject that most of my listeners find very captivating and thought-provoking. The very first episode that I did on this subject in the first season of the Walk in the Shadowlands podcast remains, to this day, 12 seasons later, one of my most listened to episodes. It was called A Glitch in the Matrix, A Holographic Reality. I followed that up a few seasons later with A Glitch in the Matrix Experiences, where people shared their personal glitches. If you haven't listened to the first episode, then I suggest that either before or after you listen to this one that you do, especially if you don't know much about this topic. It'll lay the groundwork for you to understand the experiences people in this episode have had. Today, we're diving into a world where reality itself seems to take a back seat. We're exploring the fascinating and sometimes downright eerie phenomenon known as glitches in the matrix. These are moments where time seems to stand still, the mundane turns extraordinary, and the impossible becomes a lived experience. I have 18 incredible stories lined up for you from people who have encountered these glitches firsthand. So, if you've ever experienced a sudden shift in your surroundings, a strange deja vu, or a moment that defies all logic, you're in for a treat. Before we do begin, just so you're aware, I'm just going to play these experiences one after the other, with a small gap between them. Some of these experiences are extra objects appearing. Some are definitely timeline or alternative reality glitches. Or alternative timeline glitches, if you prefer. And some are time glitches, but whatever sort they are very interesting. As always, the question is, are you ready to walk with me into this part of the Shadowlands and see what awaits us there? Then let's begin.
I just had my first glitch in the Matrix. Experience? Question mark. You know, all those stories where people are like looking at my Invisalign or something, and it hurt when my head was against the chair. So I took the clip out and I put it in my pocket. So then I'm out of the orthodontist and I'm walking my car and I pull my keys out of my pocket, but something crashes to the ground at the same time. And so I look down and it's the clip. The clip fell out of my pocket as I pulled my keys out and landed on the ground in front of me. So I pick the clip up and I'm like, okay, whatever. And I put my hair back up really, really quick. And I get in my car and I drive off to wherever, my work. So now I'm parked outside my work. My hair is up. I turn my car off and I put my keys in my pocket. But I feel something else in my pocket. Clip was in my pocket. But it was in my hair at the same time. And I only have one of them. I'm sure someone that works at Dollar Tree is going to tell me they like came in a two-pack or something. But then why did it fall out of my pocket? How did I put it in my hair? And then how did another one end up in my pocket? Is the question.
If you've never experienced a glitch in the Matrix, this is probably not for you, because you're going to think that I'm crazy. So I've had multiple glitches throughout my life, especially now that I've gotten older, I can understand what's happening. But the very first one that I can remember that I was like, am I crazy or are all of you crazy? So this is around fourth or fifth grade, elementary school. My grandma would pick me up from school 2 to 3 times a week. We were very close. My grandma lived like rock throwing distance from my house. So I would literally travel up the creek through the woods to my grandmother's house that I would go. I would spend all my time with my grandma. So after school, she would pick me up and we would go to Wendy's. That was our thing. We loved Wendy's. My grandma has very prominent blue eyes, like crystal clear. It's a very prominent feature about my grandma that she has very blue, piercing crystal blue eyes. So this one day, she picks me up. We go to Wendy's. We're sitting in the glass area. If you know Wendy's back then you know what I'm talking about. We're sitting there eating our fries, and I look up at my grandma, and my grandma has brown eyes. They're brown. And so naturally, I was like, "Grandma, your eyes are brown." And she was like, "Yeah, Lauren, I have brown eyes." I said, "Grandma, no, you don't. You have very blue eyes. What do you mean you have blue eyes?" And she's like, "No, Lauren, I have brown eyes." So whatever, we eat. She takes me home, and this is a whole thing. I talked to my mom, too, and I'm like, "Mom, grandma has brown eyes." And my mom was like, "Yeah, grandma has brown eyes." "No, she doesn't. She has blue eyes. What do you mean she has brown eyes? Like, everyone knows that grandma has blue eyes," and everybody was making me believe that I was crazy. The next time that I see my grandma, 3 days later, my grandma has blue eyes again. So, of course, I'm like, "Grandma, your eyes are blue. Why are your eyes blue?" And she's like, "Yeah, Lauren, I have blue eyes. What do you mean?" "What do you mean? What do I mean? We just had this conversation 3 days ago when you had brown eyes, and I told you that you had blue eyes, and you're telling me that you have brown eyes, but I know that you have blue eyes. And now that you have blue eyes again, you're telling me that you know you have blue eyes? I'm not crazy. This was not a dream. I did not dream this. This happened. This was reality. I mean, it was like Monday on Thursday. Now you have blue eyes." Like, I did not make this up. This is still with me to this day. I think about this to this day. My grandma had brown eyes that day that I went to Wendy's with her after school. I didn't make that shit up. Like, that was reality. I didn't miss a day. Like, this happened. I'll never forget that.
"I remember this girl from my high school passing away in a car accident. She had driven into oncoming traffic because she was texting. I remember very vividly as my sister, myself, and a bunch of our friends went to her funeral. We lived in a very small town, so this was talked about for weeks. Now, fast forward 10 years later, and I have told my now fiance the story so many times that she remembers the girl by name. May needs to warn her against texting and driving. One day, my fiance happens to be scrolling on my sister's Facebook and goes, 'Isn't that the girl that passed away?' When I went to check it out, it was in fact the same girl who had died 10 years earlier. Now living in my same old town, married to an old friend of mine, they even had a kid together. And no one remembers the car accident."
So like in 2017, I was driving to downtown Dallas. I live in Dallas, Texas. So I was driving to downtown Dallas and I was on I-35. At the time, I had a friend in my passenger seat. And, you know, we were just talking, you know, listening to music, yada, 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 whatever, right? So I'm driving down I-35 and I'm behind a silver Toyota 4Runner. And this car had to be like maybe 2 car lengths, maybe 3 car lengths in front of me. It was enough space that somebody, like, I leave space in front for people to get in front. So there's enough space, like a car length between us type shit. Anyways, as we're looking at the bumper, it literally like derezzes. I want to just explain it the best I can. Basically, just the bumper part of this car. Keep this in mind. I'm driving behind this 4Runner, right? This bumper, this whole thing, just the bottom half of the car, literally derezzed. The whole bumper just goes, it like pixelates out. There was black behind this, and then it like repixelated back up. My passenger, and I'm like, "Did you just?" And she's like, "The bumper on that truck." And that's all she said was the bumper on that truck. And I was like, "Yes, bruh." That's the only time I've ever seen the Matrix like break in front of me. I don't fucking know. It was the craziest thing. Also, I people watch real bad. And I had an experience where I watched a lady come out of the gas station twice and she had only went in once. So at this story, I'm at a gas station. I'm at a Love's in Midlothian. And my homegirl went inside to the gas station to go pay for like gas or something or get cash or something, right? So I'm sitting in the car and I'm looking over at the lady next like this, right? I'm watching her pump her gas. Well, she like walks into the store and then she comes back and pumps her gas. And I remember watching her because I was like, wow, she reminds me of an older version of one of my friends. I'm watching the front of the store again. Same woman walks right back out and does the exact same, like starts pumping gas. I was like, yo, whoa, I'm not tripping. I literally remember perking up and going like, yo, I just watched her. What the fuck?
Had an Android phone, which had a Google Cards feature option that could notify you like 15 minutes to home if you were out. I thought this feature was annoying and useless, so I kept this feature off. After several months of no cards notifications, one night I'm at home and a card pops up saying 35 minutes to home, pinning me at a random intersection on the other side of town. Let's call it First Street and Story. I think that's weird. I'm not even way over there. I don't even know where that is. I've never been to that area. I go to my card setting to turn it back off, but it's already turned off. Next night, exact same thing happens. 35 minutes to home from First Street and Story. Still definitely not over there. Check cards feature and the notifications are still turned off. So no idea why I'm getting a notification. 2 days later, a friend and I are out running errands and he misses his intended exit, so he takes the next one. Once on the streets, I ask, where are we? I've never been over here. Suddenly, a car to our right tries to turn left and crashes into us. Mess up the wheel to be unable to turn, so he pulled forward to the curb to call a tow truck. We had our kids in the car, so I call my sister to pick us all up. When my sister asks me for the location, I look up at the street signs. First Street and Story.
This happened a couple weeks ago. I'm still racking my brain, and it makes zero sense. So I bought this house September of 2021. It's taken me a long time to organize it, get it decorated the way that I want it. I still don't have kitchen chairs. That's not important. I'm just snitching on myself and getting distracted. So when I organized the kitchen, I put some of my cookbooks above the microwave and then some I put in this china cabinet. Okay. And then I went online to Amazon and I ordered these cute little ceramic cats. They're heavy and they're gold. And that's very important. And I chose gold because had I chosen the other option, which was oiled bronze, which is what I would have preferred, you wouldn't be able to see it. They would have just blended in. So I got gold. I don't go for gold ever. Like even my cast ring, everyone got these in gold. I went silver. I chose silver. Silver tufted headboard, silver frames here. Just driving that point home, okay? The reason I chose gold is because you wouldn't have been able to see it otherwise. And I loved that they were cats. I had never seen that before, okay? I was like, this is adorable. I must have. So then maybe like, I don't know, whenever the semifinals were for college playoffs, okay? I built a bookshelf. And then when the game was over, I went upstairs to my attic and I pulled down boxes of books that had been in storage since before I purchased this house, okay? Really since 2019, okay? And I put some of them on a bookshelf in my other room on another bookshelf. But the ones that matched the color scheme of the bookshelf I was doing, I kept. And then as I'm pulling all of these books out, guess what I find? Guess what I find in the box? The exact same bookends. And when I looked at them on Amazon, I'd never seen them before. And this box has been in storage for like 3-4 years now. Like storage meaning like in my attic or at my parents' house. And I've asked my mom, because I was like, maybe she just threw them in there. No, she'd never seen them before. And she's the only other person who would have ever messed with it. And I can't make heads or tails of it.
One day I was living with my two best friends, Caitlin and Courtney. Caitlin is a nurse. And she always had these old beat up shoes that she wore to nursing every time. But then she threw them out. And she got brand new shoes called Hokas. They're like very popular amongst nurses. And she religiously only wore these Hokas when she would go nursing. And she would always keep them right next to the door when she got home. Because obviously they're disgusting because they were like nursing shoes. So she didn't want to like bring them in the house. So they always sat next to the door when she was home. And they were gone when she went to work because she wore them. So one day me and Courtney, we're about to go on a walk and we look at the door and we see that Caitlin's Hokas are sitting there, but we know she went to nursing today. She's literally on a 12-hour nursing shift. So we're thinking, we talk to each other. We're like,
Did she keep her old shoes? Like, why didn't she wear her Hokas today? I thought she threw those out. It's so weird. And we both stared at the shoes and we're just like, weird. Went on a walk. Later on, when Caitlin came home, we asked, hey, did you use your old shoes today? Because your Hokas were sitting at the door. And she was like, no, I threw those out. I wore my Hokas. What are you guys talking about? And we were both like, what? Like, your Hokas were literally here. But they couldn't have been because she was wearing them, but they were. And I still think about it a lot to this day. And none of us have any idea why it happened or how.
Wondering if anyone else that lives in Chicago or has been in Chicago ever and has been to this building gets the same weird vibes from it, but the Marshall Fields Macy's, the one that's a Macy's now on State Street that used to be Marshall Fields, the building itself is super old. It's pretty cool inside. You know, it's just a neat building. But I never want to go back. It gives me weird vibes. And specifically, there's this thing that happened to me once while I was there that just gave me the weirdest vibes. So we'll set the scene. I go in, and I'm looking for a specific. I think it was a top. And I ask, what floor is XYZ item on? They say the fifth floor. So I take a bunch of escalators up to the fifth floor. And I remember, because I consciously had to look for the escalators going up to each respective floor. I get there. I didn't find what I need. So I'm like, okay, time to take the escalators back down. And I walk and I walk and I walk on this floor, and I can't find an escalator. Look, I can find up escalators. I can't find any down escalators. So I walk and I walk and I walk and I walk, and I still am not finding them. And I'm walking through all these departments that I had not walked through before, but I don't take any stairs up or down. I don't take any escalators up or down. And this becomes important later. So it feels like I've been walking for like ever now. And I'm seeing weird parts of the store that I didn't remember walking through. Like, I walked through the bedding section. I walked through some toys. I walked through an empty, looks like it was a chocolate shop is the best way I can describe it. Finally, I'm getting fed up. So I walk up to the nearest person in desperation. And I'm like, do you know where the down escalator is? And he looks at me and he's like, you're in the basement. And he starts laughing. So I kind of thought, okay, this guy's messing with me or something. Because he was with one of his guy friends. So I walked over to a person, clearly staff. I think they were janitorial staff. And they're about to step into an elevator. And I'm like, what floor are we on? And they're like, we're in the basement. So somehow, I come into the Marshall Fields Macy's. I consciously remember searching for and taking a bunch of escalators to the fifth floor. And then with no memory of going down through stairs, escalator, elevator, anything. I end up in the basement. So first floor, fifth floor, basement. And it freaks me out so bad, I've never wanted to go back since.
When I was 7 or 8 years old, I remember the details of this very clearly. A friend of mine who lived a couple of streets over, we went to Target one day. Her mom took us to Target. We're shopping around. She picks out this book. It wasn't a Goosebumps book, but it was like a knockoff similar to Goosebumps That's Eating Me. But so it was kind of like a spooky book. Yeah, I remember it was a black book with red lettering. We get home from Target and we decide that we are going to spend the night at my house now. So we pack up her stuff. She packs that book that we bought, bring it over to my house. We get to my house. We, whatever, eat dinner, hang out, watch TV. We go to the bathroom to start unpacking her bag. I pull the book out of her bag. And I say, let's remember to read this tonight before we go to bed. It'll be fun. We'll read it, blah, 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 whatever. We put the book back in her bag and we go back to play, whatever. Okay, so bedtime rolls around. We go looking for the book in her bag. And so we're like, what the heck happened to the book? And we're both like, okay, well, we knew that I pulled the book out in the bathroom because we discussed it. We're going to read it around bedtime. So we go look in the bathroom, can't find it. Rip her bag apart, can't find it, start looking all over the house, cannot find the book. Like, what the hell? So we're like, eventually we stopped looking for it. And I was just like, okay, it'll turn up. I'll give it back to you when I find it, whatever. So we just kind of forget about the book. Next day, we're bringing my friend home to her house. We're walking her in her front door. What the F is sitting on her kitchen counter? The book. The book. There was not two books. There was one book that we both, I'm getting goosebumps now because I remember it to this day. We both remember me pulling that book out in the bathroom of my house, disappeared from my house, and it ended up on her kitchen counter. And when we asked her mom, what is that book doing here? She said, you guys left it here this whole time. It's been sitting here since you left. Oh my God, bumps. Freakiest thing.
If you're enjoying today's episode, then please consider becoming a supporter and helping me with the running costs of keeping this podcast on the air. You could buy me a coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/walkingtheshadowlands or become a monthly supporter. Any help, big or small, to keep our podcast up and running is appreciated. Meantime, back to the experiences.
So I had a literal We're in the Matrix dream about 2 months ago. I'm a lucid dreamer. I literally always wake up in my dreams. I have been lucid dreaming since I was a kid. And after having this dream, I have not had a lucid dream in almost 2 months. So I've just decided that I'm going to talk about it because I have no idea what to make of it. Essentially, I have lucid dreams all the time. I wake up at like the smallest mention of something that is not based in reality. This is frequent for me. It has been happening since I was a little kid. It leads to some very cool dreams, some very interesting stuff, but this one was actually scary. So essentially, I had a dream. It was just like all the other dreams. Like, I was in my bedroom. I'm playing the piano. I think I'm 17. I'm at my parents' house. It starts out, I'm doing something mundane and unusual. And then I have this strong feeling like if I look out of my bedroom window, it's not going to be the view of the forest that was my parents' backyard. So I look out the window. Sure enough, there's dream characters everywhere. There's streets. It's like a whole circus outside. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm dreaming. But I didn't want to say that out loud. And I was alone in my bedroom. So I was like, okay, so there's no dream characters here to kind of like take me away. No dream police. So I sit down and I'm just going to play the piano. I'm just going to sing. I'm just going to try to be creative in this space. Hopefully I don't wake up and that'll be fine. I'll just be lucid here. So I'm playing the piano and my fingers start doing that dream thing where you're kind of getting sucked into stuff. I'm like, the piano's being weird. And so I get a little bit freaked out and I go, I'm dreaming. Stop. Like, whatever. So immediately when I'm like, I'm dreaming, cut. I mean, immediately the piano stops being weird. The room stops being weird. I look over to the door. There's a woman standing there with a clipboard. So then I'm in this room. This girl's there. She's got like a little pixie cut. She's like, oh, you gotta go. She got the clipboard. I'm like, okay, I know I gotta go, but can you just answer some questions for me? So she comes over, I'm sitting on my bed. And as I'm asking her these questions about like why I have to leave and why I keep waking up in my dreams, I'm looking around and all of a sudden the walls start to be weird. If you've ever seen Community and you know what the Dreamatorium is, it kind of starts like glitching. It's like, am I in some sort of like weird white room that has like lines and it's almost like a projected virtual reality? That's what it looked like. So as this dream woman's talking to me, suddenly everything turns into this very like it's a virtual reality space and it's almost like the VR dies and this other woman is standing there. She's like, she gets real weird. She's like, oh my God, no, like I have to fix this. I'm what? She's like, you were supposed to wake up. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you're just like not supposed to be able to access this space while you're in a dream. You should not be here. And I don't know how you got here. And we are going to be in a lot of trouble. And I was like, what do you mean by we? So essentially she takes me out of this room. And we are on some sort of like a spacecraft and there it, she takes me over to the screen, like in the wall, and it's showing past dreams that I've had from this camera and I'm seeing them. And I remember that I've had these dreams. I'm like, how do you have access to this? She's like, I actually have this whole file on you. We've been watching you. And essentially, we know that you can lucid dream, but you're not supposed to be able to leave the dream and come into what is here reality. And I'm on literally, it's like a spacecraft, but it was very weird. And essentially, she keeps showing me the moments in dreams when I become, and she's like, humans aren't supposed to be able to do that. And we don't know why you can do that. But like, this is you waking up in all your dreams. And there is like, this shift in the dream. And I can see it from a third person point of view instead of my experience. But it's all dreams that I remember having in the past. And I'm like, I just want to explore. So I don't know what you're talking about. She's just like, no, it goes beyond that. Like, you shouldn't be able to do this. She brings out this folder and it's numbered. They have a number, like a case. And she's just like, yeah, your number, whatever. And like, we've been watching you for a while because like, you can do this and nobody else can. And like, we just want to know why. But essentially, we're going to have to stop it from happening. So I'm not going to lie. At this point, I start getting really freaked out because I'm lucid. I'm physically in a body. I'm there. Everything feels very, very real. And I'm fully aware of who I am. I know that I'm back asleep on Earth. I'm in a dream. I know everything. But I also have all these memories of like, all
of my dreams as well. So she takes me into this room and it's like a waiting room and there's all these people who are dreaming and they're like catatonic and they all have these handlers, but literally they're catatonic, like trying to look at them, get their attention. Like nobody is responding. They're all asleep and something's wrong with them or wrong with their dreams. And they're waiting to be kind of like processed. And they're, so they're in this room. So then these like military people come up to me. They're not like United States military. It literally, I don't know how to explain it. They seemed human to me, but it felt like futuristic or alien or something. I don't quite know. It was like this group of people and they come and they escort me to a bridge of some sort. Not a full bridge, like the bridge of a ship. And this is where it gets really weird, but they start asking me about vaccines or shots or something. Like, they're asking me about that. And I'm like, yeah, I've got all the shots on Earth that I'm supposed to get. And they were just like, no, something's wrong with your DNA. You're not supposed to be able to wake up here. We're going to have to give you this injection and then you'll never be able to lucid dream again. And I was like, excuse me, what? And this handler apologized. She's like, I'm really sorry that we have to do this, but like, we have to do it. You can't be here. And so I'm just like, what are you talking about? They start talking about like B12. I don't know where that came from. They started talking about like certain genes and then they put these like dots on my veins. I was like, get off of me. But I can't wake up. I'm lucid, but I can't wake up myself at all. So essentially, I have this conversation with these higher ups, like whoever are the captain or whatever. And they're telling me that they're asking me questions. They're asking me about my experience. I'm asking them about like why I can't be there. They're being like, well, that's classified. Okay, you're going to have to take her back to the room, give her this injection, and she's never going to be able to lucid dream again. And I'm like, what? So I get taken back to the room, right, with this woman. And I'm like, please don't do this. I love lucid dreaming. I don't want to not be able to lucid dream. And I asked her, I was like, what is the problem? She said something about like, I'm able to see beyond. And it's dangerous. So I was like, please don't do this. So then she goes and she leans in and she like doesn't give me the shot. She like squirts it out. She's just like, I'm actually a huge fan. I've watched your videos. I've been following you and I've asked to be assigned to this case because I have been watching you essentially like your whole life. And I think this is like really amazing that you can do this. I'm going to help you out. And so essentially she told me to just try to like, hold my consciousness back, try to be as unconscious catatonic as I can be. I started crying and she's like, that's fine. But like, you have to just like wake yourself up. So I just like pulled my consciousness back and I was sobbing and I woke myself up. And then it was crazy because essentially she was telling me like, if they find out I didn't give you the shot, they're going to come looking for you. They don't want you to be able to dream like this again. And then when I woke up, I literally had like 104 degree fever. I was not sick when I went to bed. And then I woke up with this 104 degree fever and I was sick for 4 days with like this horrible flu that came out of nowhere when I had that dream. And ever since then, I haven't had another lucid dream at all. In fact, I'm having like weirdly normal dreams, dreams about stressful things going on in my life, like dreams that would wake me up. And I have not had another lucid dream. So I don't know what to make of that. It really scared me. And to be fair, I got so delirious with fever. I told my fiance about the dream and then I was like, I am going to go back to sleep and I'm going to make a deal with the people that if my fever breaks, and because it wouldn't break, like I was taking medicine, my fever would not break for like 3 days. I was like, if my fever breaks, then they call me, I won't lucid dream anymore. And I went to sleep and I do not remember having any sort of a dream about that. But I did wake up. My fever was broken and I have not had a lucid dream since. So I literally don't know what that means. And if anything, it's really hard to think about. It was so real. And I can very vividly remember being there for the whole dream and when everything looked like how futuristic and alien it was. And it was actually really scary. When I woke up, I was so paranoid that I wasn't going to be able to remember it. And I was so sick that it was like really hard to even write it down. I don't want to be like we are stuck in Matrix or anything like that, because maybe dreams are just weird things. But considering I've had psychic dreams, I have dreams about people's deaths, like when they, I have like premonitions, and that's really connected to the real world. I don't know what to make of this dream. And like I said, it's been 2 months and I don't think I've woken up in a dream since. So that's that.
I don't even know how to say this, but I experienced a glitch in the Matrix Funeral Edition. And honestly, this is probably one of the craziest, most unexplainable events in my entire life. I am losing sleep over it. I literally just can't. But 2 months ago, I make funeral arrangements with the family. They have a cremation and they order 50 prayer cards. 50 prayer cards. Now, the cards they picked out were so unique, so rare, so beautiful. I'd never even seen them before. Don't carry them. I had to order them custom made from a third party vendor, and which I did. They mailed them to me. Now, I held on to those prayer cards and the cremated remains for about 2 months. Until last week, on Friday, and the family called because they wanted to pick them up. So they come in, they pick them up. I'm like, oh, when are you having your service? They said they're going to do something on Sunday, which is in 2 days. I was like, oh, that's really nice. Where are you having it? They're like, we haven't decided it yet. You know, Anne Ida was really old, and she kind of outlived all of her friends, so we'll figure it out. I'm like, great. You know, I hope it's beautiful and so on and so forth. I didn't go, wasn't invited, didn't keep in touch, whatever. Now, Monday rolls around. Okay. So that was Friday. Now we're on Monday. And I get a message from a restaurant who had called, and they were asking why we mailed them prayer cards. I didn't mail any restaurant prayer cards. Like, what is this about? I call them back. I'm like, why do you think they mailed you prayer cards? She was like, because your ad is on them. You know, we put the funeral home ad on the prayer cards. I was like, no, I didn't mail you anything. What is the return address on the envelope? She said, there was none. I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't know. She's like, what is the name of the deceased? You know, she says, Van Ida. I was like, well, that's weird. And I was like, I gave the family those cards on Friday. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they mailed them to you. Like, maybe I thought maybe they didn't have their service on Sunday. I don't really know. I just know I didn't do it. So I was like, they'll figure it out. Later that day, I get a phone call from the daughter of Van Ida. She's like, Melissa, why did you mail the restaurant prayer cards? I was like, I didn't. It's like, I talked to the restaurant. I explained her the same thing I explained to you. She was like, how did you know we went to that restaurant? I was like, I didn't know you went there. I didn't know anything. She said, yeah, we went there yesterday. It was Sunday. And I said, did you have the prayer cards that I gave you? She said, yeah, 50 of them. She said that she handed some out. She even had a few extra. I said, okay, that's weird. I said, you know, when you go to the restaurant and pick up those prayer cards that were mailed to you, can you give me a call? Because I'm thinking the prayer cards have to be different. Maybe like a friend or something found out that was the restaurant, ordered them, they came late. I don't know, but there has to be a reasonable explanation. Well, she goes and she gets them and she calls me. And the prayer cards, the custom prayer cards that I had ordered from a third-party company, they were exactly the same, identical. Add on it and everything. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, return address? She said, no. But the post, you know, like when it goes to the post office, was a zip code that wasn't near either of us. So I was like, or the company I ordered it from, like totally different county. I was like, this is really weird. So we were just like, wow, unexplainable. But I don't let things go. So I called the company because now I'm thinking maybe there is a chance that like I heard somebody in the office ordered it and like somehow magically knew the restaurant and mailed them. Like that would be crazy, but there's got to be some kind of reasonable explanation that there is more than 50 identical prayer cards, right? Well, here's what happens.
Okay, it's not 50, you know what? And there was a reorder put in.
Long pause.
Hi. You know?
So mean.
Can I just tell you something really quick?
So if you follow me, you understand that only 50 prayer cards were ever ordered. Custom prayer cards were ever ordered. Family picked them up on Friday. They had their celebration on Sunday. They handed some out. They had a few extra. Monday morning rolls around, and there is 50 identical prayer cards that show up to the restaurant that they only chose on Saturday night. She literally had more than 50 prayer cards in her possession. And to be honest, they didn't need an additional 50 prayer cards. Me and Ida's daughter have literally exhausted any, even the wildest, craziest reason how this could happen. It's impossible.
I used to live with major depression. So when I was 16 years old, there was a time that I wanted to unalive myself. And I was having this intense anxiety attack breakdown. And I cried for at least an hour. And then I lied down in bed. And I couldn't help myself, like that anxiety attack, like the, you know, that feeling. And as I lay down, I was thinking of ways of how I could unalive myself. Sorry, trigger warning. And then all of a sudden, I felt like arms wrap around me in bed. And I felt this immense, warm, comforting feeling. And I immediately stopped crying. Like I was like, and I couldn't just, and I felt like this immense amount of love. And then I just fell asleep. Fast forward to the future. I'm about 27, 28 years old, and I was doing a self-hypnotherapy, and I decided that I wanted to do something called reparenting, where you go back in time and find points in your life where you need to become the parent that you wish you had. And I said, I'm gonna go into a time, into a moment where I needed me. And as I closed my eyes, I went into a meditation, and about 20 minutes in, a vision came to me of me crying on the bed when I was 16. And I started crying when I was like 27, 28 in my meditation. And I looked at myself and I went to hug myself. And I said, you're going to be okay. Your life is great. You're going to have a kid. Don't do anything crazy. You don't have to. It's not your time. You're going to be okay. And I was hugging and I'm crying and crying in my meditation. And then when I came out of my meditation, I was like, I used to think that was an angel that like came and comforted me. And then when I was about 27, 28, I was like, wait a minute. What if it's me that went back in time to hug me? Still don't know. But glitch in the system, glitch in the matrix.
I have a question for those parallel universe people. I, twice in the last 2 years, last year in June, I had a situation where I was driving and there was a car that was coming head on towards me. And I just stopped and took in a deep breath and just prepared for impact because there was nowhere for that car to go and nowhere for me to go. So I literally thought that we were just going to hit head on. And nothing happened. So I have a dash cam and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get home and see where the hell this car went, because it just felt like an inevitable head-on collision. So when I got home, I told my daughter, you know, this just happened. Like, I almost just died. And I went to look at my dash cam video and it showed the car coming head-on towards me and then it blacked out. I get videos from my drives all the time. I live in California. So there's lots of beautiful places where I make dash cam videos all the time to post on my social medias. And for whatever reason, I had never seen my videos glitch like that. And that's what happened. Long story short, my whole life just completely changed entirely. And so I don't know what happened. Anyway, so yesterday I was driving on the highway and one of those construction trucks that carry rocks comes like from the far right lane, crosses over three lanes into my lane and then over to the HOV lane. And I had to like make a hard stop, almost a hard stop, and then kind of like swerve to miss him or to not get hit. And then I like turn around to give him the evil eye, like, what are you doing? But then the truck wasn't there. So I'm like looking in my rearview mirror, nothing. There's no truck behind me in any of the lanes. There wasn't that much traffic. Again, I went to look at my dash cam video and it said 1 hour drive. It was like 58-minute drive. It showed the time I left my house and the time that I arrived at my destination. And then when I press play, it shows me already in Hollywood. Like, it has no recording of me leaving the house or being on the highway at all. So I don't know. What do you think?
You guys, something really weird just happened to me and I'm kind of freaked out. So I was off work today at 2 p.m. By the way, I work at Barnes & Noble. Just for, you know, reference sake, everybody knows Barnes & Nobles are not small. They're big. They're big bookstores. So I was shelving a book and then a coworker walked past me and said, bye. And I was like, oh, you're leaving? And she was like, yeah. So I looked at my clock and I was like, oh, I'm leaving in, oh, like 2 minutes, because it was 1:58. And she was like, don't you love when you like look down into your watch and you like see that you're about to get off work? And I'm like, oh, I totally love that. And then I said, are you okay? And she was like, yeah. So I gave her a hug and then she left. So then I went to go clock out, but a customer stalked me and they were like, can you help me? So I was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. What are you looking for? So then I walked all the way to the back to the kids section from the front of the store to the back after talking to a customer, after talking to my coworker and giving her a hug. So I go to like type in what the customer is looking for. Sorry, you guys, I'm like really freaked out. I went to type in what the customer was looking for and I looked at my clock because I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be off. It was still 1:58. It was still 1:58. And I remember thinking to myself, I said, self, that can't be right. That can't be right, because as long as it took you to say whatever it was to your coworker, give her a hug, have some small chatter, walk all the way like to the back, get stopped by a customer,
walk all the way to the kids department, go on the computer, and it's still 1:58. So I was so deeply unsettled. I was like, no. And I was like, did my watch stop? So then I looked on the computer terminal and it said 1:58 too. So I remember saying out loud, I was like, this is weird. This is really weird. So then I kept staring at my watch. And then a lady came over to me. She talked to me and I typed something else in. And then I looked at my watch again and it finally said 1:59. You guys, my internal clock is pretty good. I know more than 1 minute passed for me to do all of that. There's no way that it remained 1:58 to 1:58. And then I sat there looking at my clock and it was still 1:58. I don't know what this means. I don't know. I am deeply unsettled. There's no way. Y'all, there's no way. Like, did time stop? It takes me about a minute to walk from the front to the back in a meandering style, let alone talk to a customer, talk to a coworker, and look something up and walk. It was 1:58 for like 2 to 3 minutes. That's what I'm saying to you.
Anyways, Saran,
the eclipse, I don't know.
Y'all, I am not okay.
Cause that was weird. It was so weird that I looked at the computer terminal to see if maybe, I don't know what I was trying to see. Y'all, that was weird. By the way, it's a digital watch. It's not analog. The computer terminal said the same thing. It said the same thing.
I was at my parents' house and I had brought 2 suitcases full of clothes. I had all my clothes organized in my closet the way I like them. There's an organizational system that only makes sense to me. It's like sort of color coded, but I didn't have that many clothes there. So the color coding wasn't like obvious. I'm folding laundry one night. I'm about to pack to go on this road trip across the country. I fold this sweatshirt and I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like I thought I saw that in the closet. I almost wore it today. And then I was like, oh, well, that must have been another day. I must have forgot whatever. Until a few minutes later, when I went to put the folded clothes in the closet, and this sweatshirt was hanging in the closet. And so I was like, I knew I saw it. And so I'm holding this sweatshirt in my hand, and this one's in the closet. And my flabbers were gassed. I was like, what? And I'm like, how is that possible? I'm going through every scenario in my head. I know for a fact I do not own 2 sweatshirts. I've only owned this one. I used to wear it in college all the time. If I owned 2, I would have known. But also, this wasn't like my house where, oh, I might have like forgotten about a sweatshirt. Like I only brought 2 suitcases full of clothes. I'd already been there for like 2 months. So if I had randomly had duplicated sweatshirts and somehow packed both of them, I would have known by that point. So this was not my sweatshirt. And I was like, okay, maybe it's my mom's sweatshirt. Like, I know I bought this like 2012, 2013, which is like over 10 years ago. So I don't know. I'm like, maybe my mom also bought one. She did own this. Why would she randomly pull it out of her closet and like stick it in my closet? And even in her house, like if I've left clothes around before, she'll pretty much just not touch it. Or if she would like put it on my bed or something. Like she never just like inserts clothing into my closet. Also, it was in the exact sweatshirt spot I would have put it. And so like the chances of her putting, even if all those other things happened, like the chances of her putting a sweatshirt in the exact spot, like she just wouldn't have done that. But, you know, so I'm like, something's happening here. So I went to her room and I'm like, do you recognize this sweatshirt? And my mom's like, yeah, you wore it the other day. And I'm like, do you also own this sweatshirt? Did we happen to buy duplicate ones? And she's like, I don't know. Like, maybe? And I'm like, okay, so you don't know if you own this sweatshirt? And she's like, no. And I'm like, you definitely didn't put it in my closet, did you? And she's like, I haven't gone in your room. Like, no. So she didn't put it in my closet. The only other person in my house was my brother, who never would touch my clothes. Definitely never, like, put my clothes away in my closet, especially in an organized spot. It was not him. And even if my mom did buy the sweatshirt the same day as me, it would have been over 10 years ago. So she would have had to like rummage through piles of clothes in her own closet and like dig this out. She would have remembered that. She wouldn't be like, oh, I don't know if I own that sweatshirt. Like, she would have obviously known. She dug it out and like put it there on purpose. thinking it was mine. But she had it been in my closet. She didn't know if she owned the sweatshirt. We had no explanation for it. And something weird, but this one's mine, and it's worn. Like, it has pilling and signs of wear, where this one's brand new. This one doesn't have any flaws on. But this has to be a glitch in the matrix. There's no other explanation. There's no way this duplicate sweatshirt could have gotten in my closet otherwise.
Okay, so this is my glitch in the matrix story. My girlfriend and I still don't really know what happened. We drive around a lot together. It's sort of our thing. We drive places for work and stuff. For me, I often have to travel to do art stuff, sort of art painting and markets and things. So we get in the car and we travel a lot. And this has never happened before, and it's never happened again, only this one time. So we were in a place called West Gosford. Now, West Gosford is an experience, and it's sort of a very flat area at sea level. And then there's a set of robots at this intersection, and then a very, very steep winding road up this quite steep mountainside to get up to the top of Mount Carrion. And it's quite a sacred space. There's a lot of history there. A lot of weird stuff happens around there energetically. So we were waiting at a traffic light. I was sitting in the passenger seat, just chilling, being annoying. And she was trying her best to drive. And I was just being a pest. Anyway, we pull off from these traffic lights and we're busy talking. And then suddenly we were at the traffic lights at the top of the mountain. Now, it's not an easy strip of road. It's really winding. You have to go quite fast. It's two lanes. It's very wide. People just gun it up that hill. So it's not really safe. You pass a waterfall. There's a view of Gosford. So it's quite a nice drive, but also quite a stressful drive. So you can't really daydream or anything on that strip of road. You need to be quite observant. And I'm a driver as well, so I'm usually quite on alert on that road, like baby a bit close to the side, baby watch out, or that guy's being an asshole, whatever. But we both collectively have no recollection of anything from those traffic lights at the bottom accelerating and then arriving at the robots, the traffic lights at the top of the mountain. So there's about 5 minutes of lost time. In the video, we had a recording of it on the car dash cam, but weren't recording sound. And the entire trip is there. She drove the whole trip, but we have absolutely no recollection of it. And both of us went, what the fuck? How did we end up here? Like, how did we end up at the top? What happened? And felt weird for the rest of the day. So, yeah.
I cannot make sense. Still, what happened this morning? With that said, I've never had anything happen to me that would be considered like a glitch in the matrix. But this morning, okay, so I'm out of town, staying at a hotel because I'm here for a work function. But our meeting's starting at 10 a.m. It's 7:10 this morning. My alarm goes off. I'm like, I need a couple more minutes. I put my phone down. I roll back over. All of a sudden, I can feel my phone in my hand, like almost as if it was placed in my hand. You know, what the fuck? So I roll over. My phone is in fact in my hand. I know. I click the side of my phone. It says 11:30. Bitch, I jump out of bed so fast. So fast. And I look like one of those cartoon characters that are like getting pinged, like, ding, ding. Because I have no idea what to do with myself. Immediately give the manager a call. And he's like, hi, Woody, good morning. And I'm like, good morning. I don't know. Why the tone? I don't know. Purely in panic, clearly. He goes, hey, you good? And I was like, well, it's 11:30. And I'm not there. He goes, Woody, you know, you're early as usual. Because I always arrive early. This is 7:30 in the morning. I thought this man has even left his house. He's having breakfast with his family. And then he proceeds to tell me like the time, the day of the week. And I'm like, I'm looking at my phone, my guy. It says 11:30. What? There's another person here for the same function. So I run to the window and I look and I see their car. And I'm like, well, there's no way they're late too. Anyway, I hang up, I sit down and I'm like trying to collect my thoughts. Like, what? Mind you, while we're on the phone, I take a screenshot. Because I'm like, I'm looking at 11:30. Take a screenshot. After I sit down, I can't log back into my phone. It will not let me. So I turn it off. When I go to squeeze my phone to turn it back on, it falls on the floor face down. I lean down to my phone, pick it back up, and it's on. Like, not turning on, whatever. It's on. And it says 7:30. I log into my phone, immediately go to my pictures, no screenshot. Like, is this a traumatic event? Absolutely not. Does it not make any fucking sense? Absolutely. And I don't accept this. What happened? Does it mean anything?
I never told this story to anyone. First of all, people might say I'm crazy. And second of all, they might say that I made it up. Which, even if I wanted to, I couldn't make this up. So here it goes. When I was 7 years old, I remember my mum had to go to hospital for an operation. It had something to do with under her armpit and with her left breast. I'm not really sure what it was. She still has the scar to this day. And I remember I had to stay with my grandma from my mum's side for a couple of days and then from my dad's side grandma for a couple of days. And whenever my dad would come and visit and bring me like change of clothes, I would beg him to come see mum, but he told me, you know, it's not a place for kids. She's really sick now. So it was, I was really upset for like a week because I didn't see my mum and I was used to her. That time I was the only child. This was before my siblings were all born. And before my mum left the hospital, she always had a long thin face. She had long black hair. And the main thing, which is important to the story, she was taller than my dad. And I know this for a fact, because I remember my auntie used to make, you know, funny comments about it. I remember when I was younger, I used to compare my size to my, like, my mum and dad. And my mum would say things like, well, I'm taller than both of you. So I know for a fact that she was taller than my dad. I think week after she came back from hospital, I was at my grandma's place. I remember it like it was yesterday. She came back and she brought me this chocolate phone. It was like a phone, but a chocolate phone. And when she came up to me, I looked at her and I was in shock. And I didn't know what to say or who to say it to or if I'm crazy. But she did not look like mum. She had a round face. She had short black hair. And she was actually smaller than my dad. And also in, even now when I think about it, I'm in shock, to be honest. And yeah, I was like really shy of her or like scared of her. You know, like when a child meets someone for the first time. That was literally how I was acting towards my mom at 7 years old after only not seeing her for a week. And my dad and my grandma was like, come on, go to your mom. You know, you haven't seen her in a long time. What's wrong with you? And yeah, I didn't want to go to her. And for the after a few days after, I asked my mom, how come you are not taller anymore than that? And she looked at me and she laughed. She said, well, I was never taller than your dad. And they started making fun of me. And they started saying like things, oh, imagine if she would actually be taller than him. And this made me really angry because I didn't know what was going on. And there was also little changes in, it wasn't just visual, it was her personality as well. Because when before she went to the hospital, I remember my mom being really, really loving, especially because I was the only child. So I was like their baby. And after she came back, she was really cold towards me. She wasn't the same. She didn't just hug me throughout the day or kiss me. She would be really cold. And yeah, it never changed after that. You know, nothing changed after that. I just got used to it. But I still think about it to this day, like if I made it all up or if it really happened. So yeah, that's my glitching matrix.
What a journey we've been on today. From the strange to the spine tingling, our guest shared some truly remarkable glitches in the matrix that leave us questioning the very nature of our reality. A huge thank you to all our storytellers for sharing their experiences with us today And thank you, my amazing listeners, for joining us in this part of the Shadowlands and for your continued support. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and leave us a review. Your feedback helps me bring more thought-provoking content to you and for your continued support. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and leave our podcast a review. Your feedback helps me to bring more thought-provoking content to you. As I mentioned earlier, please consider becoming a supporter and helping me with the running costs of keeping this podcast on the air. You can buy me a coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/walkingtheshadowlands or become a monthly supporter. Any help, big or small, to keep our podcast up and running is appreciated. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with friends, and so you don't miss out on any episode, follow for teasers of our upcoming shows on any of these social media platforms, our Facebook page, WT Shadowlands, our Instagram feed, Walking the Shadowlands, TikTok, under walking_the_shadowlands. Also, we have a YouTube channel under Walking the Shadowlands as well. This podcast is available on all free podcasting platforms. Also, if you have Alexa, just say, open Walking the Shadowlands, and Alexa will play our latest episode for you. If you don't have a smartphone, don't worry. You can still listen to the episodes from the podcast website, www.walkingtheshadowlands.com. For those hearing impaired, there's a full written transcript of each episode on the website, so you don't miss out either. Until our next episode, keep wondering, keep questioning, and keep looking for those glitches in the matrix. This is Marianne bidding you farewell from the Shadowlands. Thanks for listening to this episode. Ka kite.